Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you into the 7 o'clock hour. We go. All right, we'll clean up a few things here on the text page, and then we'll get to Will Anderson Jr. We played a clip earlier of Jalen Knoll trying to guess Vince Young, looking at Vince Young's face and trying to guess who he was on the St. Brown podcast. And one of the hints that the St. Browns gave to Jalen Knoll was won the Heisman at Texas.
Yeah.
Didn't win the Heisman at Texas.
No. I was gonna say something, but given my lack of sleep, I was like, I'm definitely probably wrong on this.
Credit Greg for reminding us, because that just kind of sailed over my head. It is. He won it the year that Reggie Bush won it, and then Reggie Bush had to vacate it for several years. He just got it back recently. So maybe that's kind of the confusion.
The other thing, the big thing was that Matt Leinart won it the year that Vince Young won the national championship, correct?
Reggie Bush won it in 2005.
I'm sorry. Well, the year that Vince Young won then. Okay, I got
no,
it.
No,
got
no,
it,
the,
got
no.
It, I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Leinart won
I understand.
It the year before. Leinart won it the year before. All right, so that's one. Has John McClain ever heard of Ed Reed? We played audio of John McClain saying that the Damon Arnett signing is the worst signing in the history of the Texans.
Which is weird for what is almost definitely going to be a minimum salary type of deal. Yeah. I don't get that at all. And honestly, Sean, you had said, well, if he gets arrested again, it's the worst signing. No, I would say if he doesn't, you're taking a flyer on a guy who's got extreme physical talent, and things didn't work out because he was immature and made really bad decisions. If he has reformed himself, there's upside there.
Yeah.
And you're just giving him a minimal contract out. There's nothing. If he gets arrested again, you know what you do? You cut him. It's not a big deal.
No, I said the only thing that would put it in that type of conversation would be
even in the conversation.
Yeah, like trust me. There's way worse signings than this, independent of anything that happens with Damon Arnett.
I think it's a really smart signing in line with the Cam Akers signing, with the Nick Chubb signing.
It's all stuff on the margins. Yeah.
You got guys that have huge upside, but either injury or Damon Arnett type concerns. Yep. And you just, it's the Chubb signing is so low risk. It's so low risk.
Yeah.
It's incredible what a great lottery ticket that is.
Yeah.
The upside is immense.
Yeah. He's making barely more than Dari Ogunbowale. I mean, he's making
less than EJ Speed.
Yeah. It's a good way to look at it. All right. If you want to text in 713-572-4610, we'll circle back to Damon Arnett. We do the circle of trust here for the Astros in about 15 or 20 minutes. So stay tuned for that. This is a big one because there are only 5 in the last one. This thing might be bursting at the seams based on what they've done in the last 2 days and my personal recency bias on things. So we'll see what happens. Steve Palazzolo used to work for Pro Football Focus. He does a podcast now with Sam Monson, who also used to work for Pro Football Focus, where they kind of break things down on the league. Steve Palazzolo was not a big fan of the Will Anderson Jr. trade on draft night. And he was not alone. There were a lot of people who thought the Texans gave up way too much for Will Anderson Jr. Does Will Anderson Jr. have converts now? Here was Steve Palazzolo. Now, this is him just kind of laying out the trade on draft night, and then we'll get to what his take is on the trade now. But here's him laying out, if you don't recall the actual details, here are the details.
The problem is 3 for the price of 1, essentially. What would you have gotten at 12, at 34, and then next year's first rounder? And at the time, next year's first rounder, we're like, man, the Texans aren't even that good.
Yeah.
That might be a top 10. That's Marvin Harrison Jr. So we're trying to concoct these scenarios. We knew Marvin Harrison Jr. was coming out a year from now. And we said, wait, you might give up 12 and 34 and Marvin Harrison next year or whoever else you get in the top 5. So the Texans kind of bet on themselves. And yeah, that pick became like 26 or 27 the next year. Good job there.
Yeah, 27 it became. And that was the big thing. Like if the Texans had been bad again in 2023, the optics of that trade, the actuality of the trade, optics would have looked bad.
People were stating it like it was a mathematical fact that the Texans were going to have the top pick in the draft next year.
Yeah.
How could you give away that like such a lucrative pick? They weren't even saying could.
Yeah.
They were saying, oh, they will. It's they're just so bad. Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it didn't turn out that way. Obviously, the Texans turned things around in 2023. So Palazzolo hated the deal on draft night. What does he think of the deal? Did the Texans win the Will Anderson deal now?
Here's the way I would look at it. I always say three players is better than one. I think it would actually be tough. Now, if you went with the actual players that were picked at 12 and 34, it's two Lions, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, and then next year it was Darius Robinson with the Cardinals. You can make an argument that Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta added up are more valuable, better than Will Anderson. You can make that argument. And that's my argument normally when with the unknowns. With the unknowns, it's normally give me the three mystery boxes over the one certain thing, which is Will Anderson. However, you would be hard-pressed to find three combinations of players, three players that would actually equal the value of Will Anderson using my own homespun value metrics. It would be very difficult to find the exact right players that the Texans would have taken at 12, at 34, and then the next first rounder next year that would add up to be as good as Will Anderson, you know, at least in the ballpark. So right now, as critical as I was at the time, I'm saying this looks like a win for the Texans.
Yeah, and the Texans probably wouldn't have taken Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta if they'd kept those picks. You know,
no, there's and Palazzolo, I'm not criticizing him for not hitting on this part of it. Although I didn't watch the whole interview, or the whole podcast. The reason for the trade up, and the reason that Nick would be the first one to tell you that, yeah, in general, quantity, and you don't fall in love with individual players too much. That yes, you're treating this like a batting average, and you're going to hit on some, you're going to miss on others. The reason that they were willing to aggressively trade for a non-quarterback like that was because of all the character stuff, because of his personality, his leadership, everything else like that. And it's correct to be skeptical of that, because teams are really, really bad at actually assessing football character. You hear about it so much. We heard about it from Bill O'Brien all the time, and I think he was horrible at assessing football character. I think he thought if you had nice parents and a good GPA, that meant you had good football character, when in fact it's something a little bit different than that.
Yeah.
And with D'Amico, I think D'Amico, as a guy who is able to actually kind of watch a guy on film, talk to coaches at their school, sit down with him and have a conversation at the combine, I think D'Amico is one of the rare people that is actually really, really good at it.
I agree.
And I think between Caserio, who's not as much on the personal side of things, and D'Amico, I think they form a really good team in identifying that type of football character.
Yeah.
So it was the football character and nothing else that made it worth trading that aggressively for a defensive end.
And it's funny.
And I'll say that about other guys who would end up becoming multiple Pro Bowl type caliber pass rushers. You still don't trade that aggressively for a non-quarterback. Yeah. Him and, you know, Will and Julio Jones are basically the only guys that teams have ever done that for.
Well, Travis Hunter now, too.
And Travis Hunter now, yeah. Which, again, you're paying for something above and beyond just his physical evaluation. There's that lanyap to Travis Hunter.
No doubt.
And just him being a unicorn of a
yeah,
sort.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes?
check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
And it's funny, too, because we talk all the time when Nick is trading up in the draft, he's trading into a spot where there's bands of players. You're trading up just after you pick two. You're trading up to three. You're trading up for that guy. You know, like they were going for Will Anderson. There's nobody else they could have been taking because they just picked the pick before. There's no bands of players at three. You had your pick of the litter at that point. So
if it was the Browns, they would have drafted immediately after CJ Stroud. Anthony Richardson.
Yeah. 100%. Got a lot of text on this that we'll get to with Will Anderson Jr. So Palazzolo is a convert. He thinks the deal was a good trade. I love this cut. This is J.C. Latham, former teammate of Will Anderson's at Alabama, and now an offensive lineman for the Tennessee Titans. So he's going to see Will twice every year as long as those two are on the same team. They faced off against each other last year in Will's second year and Latham's rookie year in the NFL for the Titans. And we hear from Will Anderson all the time, Seth, last offseason, this offseason, about the things that he's been working on to try to transform himself as a player. If you want proof that that stuff is working, other than just the sheer stats and the eye test, listen to J.C. Latham talk about the Will Anderson Jr. that he was expecting to see when he went against him last year and the Will Anderson Jr. that he actually got.
Probably the only guy who can practice just like the game, like unconsciously. So like going against him, I was like, okay, I know I can block this guy in the game. Like, I've blocked him well enough in practice. And I get to the NFL, and everybody's making it, like, a really big deal. Like, hey, you're going against Will. Do you think you can block? And I'm like, absolutely. Like, he can show you the tape. I have the tape. I have the money from him. You know what I mean? And we get to the game, and that's when I was like, yeah, this motherfucker has gotten so much better. Like, he always had a KD for, like, going one with the ball, like, coming off with the ball. And he wasn't as good as he is now compared to college because, like, he would get flat for it, you know. But in the league, like, he's mastered that so much. He uses his hand at the top of the rush so much better. He has a lot more counters that he does now than he did in college. He's not just trying to bully the lineman. Like, he's learning how to get around them. He's learning how to pursue, use the right angles, the five line and all that. So, yeah, that's what I was like, yeah, this motherfucker.
It's different.
Yeah.
Who got the better of who last year?
Oh, he definitely got the better of me, for sure. I'm not finna sugarcoat it or whatever.
My favorite part of that clip. And by the way, that's a guy who practiced against Will Anderson at Alabama, and is now saying this guy is a completely different animal than what we had there. My favorite part was when Latham was kind of laying out like how he thought he could block him. He's like, yeah, man, I got the film to prove it. I got the money to prove it. So obviously they had bets going on at practice, you know, about beating each other and whatnot.
Well, and this is the thing. J.C. Latham is 6'6", 340 pounds or so, probably more than that. And in college, Will was very, very raw. He hadn't been raised up as a pure rush end, a 4-3 defensive end that just lines up in a three-point stance way outside and gets after it. He was raw. And some of the skepticism about him was, all right, he's going to have to develop as a pass rusher, because versus huge guys like J.C. Latham, he would get swallowed up sometimes. You'd see Will, like he was his rookie year, the first half of his rookie year, he'd kind of come into it thinking he was going to be able to power rush or bull rush these 345-pound guys, and it's like running into a brick wall. So the question was, can he develop above and beyond just his physical traits and his motor and all of those other things? Yeah. And it's a huge question. A lot of people are fond of saying, well, he just has to learn how to use his hands. Lots of guys never learn how to use their hands.
Yeah, it's easier said than done, yeah.
The cool thing there, too, is that in the offseason heading into 2024, Will had talked specifically about getting separation at the top of his rush. And then you hear J.C. Latham talk about how, yeah, he does really well using his hands at the top of the rush. And all of these, the pro-grow tapes that they talk about, Will is, he drills it, he gets better at it, and there's still room for him to improve. That's the really exciting part of it. And I think that right there, like, there's so many other guys, like maybe Trayvon Walker kind of had some similar rawness to him. I think and similarly very impressive physically, but made a lot of plays running around, etc. There's no way in hell Caserio would have traded up for Trayvon Walker, not because he's a bad dude or anything, but people didn't gush about him and his football character and his leadership the way they did Will Anderson.
Yeah, that's the differentiator for sure right there. I love that Latham audio, man. Like, if you're a Texan fan, that's got to fire you up. The Titans tackle who was a teammate of Will Anderson's telling you, yeah, that guy got the best. I used to be able to block him. Now he's dominating. You know, he's basically saying he's getting the best of me last year, and that he's a different guy. That's really, really cool to hear. Stephen A. Smith, we'll get to the Astros Circle of Trust here in just a few minutes. This is just funny audio. If you're in your car, it's 7:15. Stephen A. Smith was on with Justin Termin and former Rocket Eddie Johnson on Sirius XM. He was, I didn't see this, but I heard about it. I guess he was caught. Somebody sitting in the arena the other night kind of zoomed in on Stephen A. Smith watching the finals, NBA Finals Game 5. And during the game, he was playing solitaire on his phone.
Yeah.
And getting all kinds of heat on social media about it. they asked him, Justin Termin and Eddie Johnson asked Stephen A. Smith about that. Stephen A. Smith is not happy with you people that are criticizing him for playing solitaire.
I was doing what the hell I always do. And for those out there who don't like it, kiss my ass. When I'm watching the game, I'm watching the game. If there's a break in the action, it could be a dead ball. It could be a timeout or something like that. I can play the damn thing for 2 seconds. Somebody is standing over me, upper deck, zooming in on my phone, watching me and saying, oh, he's playing solitaire. He's not focusing on the game. I watch over 100 games a year. I'm on TV every morning for 2 hours, 10 hours live every day. And that's just one job. That don't count Countdown. That don't count SportsCenter. That don't count all the obligations that I have. And I'm sitting there and getting a little break, and I decide to play a little solitaire, which, by the way, I always do. And I mean always. If I sit up there, if there's halftime, I might go on my phone for 2 minutes and play solitaire. At the end of the game, before a game, I do the same thing. Damn it, if you had a little break in between, I might have been praying it again because I like the game.
There's the problem with that.
Okay.
The video shows him playing solitaire while the game is
going on.
Yeah, that's right. He pulled a little bit of a mad dog where he was immediately shut down. I can't remember if it was the same as the initial video or another video emerged of him playing solitaire during the game. He should have just left it at, yeah, I play solitaire sometimes. If he had said everything except that I do it during breaks, it would have been fine. But no, he did it while there was action going on. Nope, I'm not buying your alibi, Stephen A. Smith. Not that I even really care that much about it. I don't need Stephen A. Smith to be, he shouldn't be embarrassed in this day and age. He shouldn't be embarrassed or feel like he has to offer up such a huge and inaccurate defense of doing something that, like, he's going to do it. He watches a lot of basketball.
He makes $20 million a year at ESPN. Like, he's got the scoreboard on everybody right now. Like,
I don't expect him to be dialed in, you know, taking notes during every single game. I give him a pass
now,
on that.
I
give him an F on the on his self-defense because he didn't – it's just like a courtroom case where they're like, well, we actually have footage of you entering – the facility when you claimed
perjury.
You claimed your niece's birthday party. Yeah.
Now, if he's that upset about it, what he can do is take notes during the game and then tweet a picture of your notes, like I do.
Oh, like you do.
Yeah. Pender notes, man.
You definitely don't play solitaire versus.
I do not, and I.
But you also only have to attend 8 to 9 games plus playoffs during the year in person.
In person, No, I do notes for all the games though. I do notes for the road games too. So that was Stephen A. Smith. That was just entertaining audio. A couple texts, and then we'll get to the Astros Circle of Trust. All right, so John McClain said earlier that, Ben, do we still have McClain pulled up? Let's play it here real quick. It's a quick clip. This was John McClain on Area 45 last night saying that the Damon Arnett signing by the Texans. Texans are signing Damon Arnett, cornerback. He's got a fairly lengthy rap sheet, but has turned his life around. John said this was the worst signing in the history of the team.
I think Damon Arnett's the worst signing in his franchise's history. How they have lowered themselves to sign a guy like this, and they said, well, he deserves a second chance. No, he's had a second chance with the Chiefs, with the Dolphins. The Raiders cut him. You know when the Raiders cut players, you got to be bad.
All right, so that was John last night. Text message, I agree with John. We could have signed an established corner in Jair Alexander, probably not for league minimum, but don't you think the extra money would have been worth it? Yeah, maybe. I mean, Jair Alexander hasn't been on the field much the last 2 years either. He's played 7 games in each of the last 2 years, but here's what sometimes people don't understand. And Texter, I don't mean to take you to task here, but we need to make an example out of you. When you say they could have had so-and-so, this isn't the draft. This isn't, you're not selecting guys. It's free agency. Guys go to teams for different reasons. Jair Alexander was a college teammate of Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is the quarterback with the Baltimore Ravens. That could be a huge tipping point for Jair Alexander in making his decision as to which team he was going to go to. So I think you need to understand, like, that's how free agency works. It's not you're just handpicking a guy.
Well, yeah, and there's also this, that Jair Alexander is going to be the starting cornerback with the Ravens. And, you know, Marlon Humphrey at the nickel and Nate Wiggins out there, their first-rounder on the other side. Yeah. So that wouldn't be the case here. And I know people have said, well, hey, you can move Kamari Lassiter down to nickel. It probably wasn't as clear-cut as that. And I think the upside of Kamari Lassiter is that they're going to – They're not going to shuffle everything around from whatever their plans are for Jair Alexander. His contract, I don't believe, ended up being anything all that lucrative. And they may have actually had discussions about Jair Alexander. But even if that, it was 1 year, $4 million plus incentives, if that ends up being what it was, I think that sounds very, very reasonable. But it also means that, yes, it could be that the Texans offered him something similar, but he just preferred to go to the Ravens.
Yeah.
The situation was a little bit more clear.
And were there, let's be honest right now, they're a better football team than the Texans.
The other part
Seth, he might want to win a Super Bowl, and there's chance he does that right now with the Ravens and the Texans.
The other part about Jair Alexander, and their pass defense last year, it got a lot better in the second half of the season, but it needed improvement.
Yeah.
But the other part about Jair Alexander that made me really uncomfortable was that there were all these reports that the team was frustrated with him because he wasn't willing to play through some of the injuries that perhaps they felt like he should have played through. That's a big red flag for me. And that was what I was kind of leaning into when yesterday I was saying just that same thing, and somebody on my live stream said, "Hey, Seth, the Ravens just signed Jair Alexander." I thought, "Ah, crap."
Of all the teams,
it does a pretty good job of figuring out whether the guys are the right kind of guys.
Yeah.
The Ravens do a pretty damn good job of that.
That secondary, man. Like, if they get the version of Jair Alexander that was a Pro Bowler in Green Bay, and they drafted Malachi Starks from Georgia to go with Kyle Hamilton in the corners that you just named, holy smokes. That's a good secondary right there. Texans have a good secondary too, though. Texans have a good secondary too.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.